pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Long County Board of Supervisors meeting, March 29th, 2022. Is there any changes to the agenda?
I have one. I think I'm going to shift the project tour to a different Tuesday with the length of the agenda that you guys ended up with and then the work session that also following the meeting. I think it makes sense that I shift that. So I'll get with you guys, get on your calendars, and we'll look at a different day, I think. That'd probably be the smartest thing to do.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Meet with department heads and elected officials. Sarah Doty, payroll and the auditor's office.
Good morning. Just keeping busy as usual. Nothing new to report at this time.
Okay, thank you. Lisa Schaefer, county attorney.
The weather's warming up, as does crime, so. Keep up.
I'm assuming they're correlated.
They do, actually. Yeah, we're seeing an uptick in drugs and guns again, which we would expect this time of year.
Fortunately, well, I think the sheriff's out on the streets right now.
Not today.
Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always. Don't really have anything new to report.
Well, I got a new phone on my desk.
Yep. Going to be porting some numbers here this morning after the board meeting. Might do some training here this morning if you guys have some time.
There you go. Thanks, Colin. Rodney Bleasner, maintenance.
Good morning. Talked with contractor on the front step project. It's going to be sometime in April. We don't have a definitive date yet. It's just really kind of weather dependent. Just waiting to make sure that the temperature lows are kind of at a more consistent level above a certain point. So between that and the rain. So they're planning on April at some point, but just really dependent on the weather. So that's about all I have for now.
Will I shut the whole front entrance down when they start and have to go in the handicap door?
Yeah, so we'll be down to the side entrance, the handicap entrance on the south side when we close that down for construction.
Thanks, Rodney.
Yep.
Chad McEwen, Chief Deputy.
Good morning. Only thing from the sheriff's office, we got our two guys who are finalizing training. They should be out on the road in a week, so that'll bring finally up to full staff. At the county jail, we're sitting at 72. Three are down in Lee County, three juveniles, and three are out of county.
Outside of that, everything else going okay?
Everything else is just fine.
Good. Thank you, Chad. Chris Lee, conservation.
Hi, good morning. Our boat ramp at Big Hollow is currently closed under construction. As of this morning, it looks like they had all the sub-base down and they're ready to pour. I've seen they've got rebar set on the first half of it. And so, barring weather problems, hopefully we're going to have that done, rebuilt by the end of the week here. We'll get back out like over the weekend. And so, that's going on. We got a board work session tomorrow. We're going to talk about the finance stuff, funding, revenue sources, and different things. And then, just a reminder that this is the busiest time of year for us. We already had campers in Big Hollow last weekend. We have, I think I saw 9 reservations for this coming weekend. So the guys are scrambling, trying to get parks open. And then, in between weather windows, we're trying to get our prescribed burns done for the spring. Things like that, so it's kind of a mad scramble. We are shorthanded. We've got a guy up at the Law Enforcement Academy. We've got a guy that's working with one arm right now because he had shoulder surgery. So we're kind of scrambling to try to squeeze everything in. You know, March and April is always kind of a scramble for us. So just bear with us. Like I said last week, there will be times that our office will be closed because sometimes we just have to pull all office staff. We pull our nature center staff to help with some of this field stuff, try to get the parks and everything ready to go. So,
you know, when your office is closed, I kind of have a problem with that. You have that on your website that it's open, and there's no way that the general public goes out there and knows this.
Yeah, it used to be we had some part-time, like day hire staff that we would call and have come and fill in on that, but we struggled to get those, and we lost a couple of them over the years. And that's kind of one of those tough things. And so, yeah, that's also something we're trying to work on to figure that out. And that's also why we've talked about this office consolidation, trying to move us out of that office, like into a park office at McCall or something. And then at least then, you know, we could maybe have our camp host cover or something like that and try to consolidate operations, because if it was just me and Jeff out there, if both of us have obligations, then, you know, we don't have anybody that can step up. Yeah, we usually post on this. So this last week was it was a miscommunication on my part, and that was my fault as to why there's nobody in this last Friday. But normally we put on our Facebook page when our office is going to be closed. But we encourage everybody just call us first and make sure somebody's going to be there, because like I said, we're small and shorthanded, and so we would just hope that everybody knows to call us and make sure that somebody's there before they make sure.
You might well put that on your website.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Jared Lassiter, South East Iowa Regional Planning.
Good morning. Well, we have several items on the agenda, so don't really have much else apart from that. Just keeping busy as always. I did talk with Zach yesterday, and he did mention how the meeting regarding the interviews for an architect on the public health building. I see that's on the agenda here listed for tomorrow, so it looks like you're well aware of that. So. Sounds like that's a good deal that we're moving forward on that project. Apart from that, that's all I have.
Thank you. Janelle?
Good morning.
How's the treasurer's office?
Busy. And of course, folks, this is the last reminder. Property taxes are due Thursday, March 31st. We have up until 4:30 to bring them in the office, the drop box, or get them postmarked March 31st or before. And also up to 11:59. In the evening on Thursday at www.iowatreasures.org website, because Friday, April 1st, will be 1.5% interest.
1.5% interest. Thanks, Janelle.
I paid mine.
That girl.
It hurts, but I did.
Cheryl, good. Pleasure director.
I just have a couple agenda things I need to sit in on, so. Just busy with budgets. Everybody's getting their budgets in, and schools will have till the 15th of April, and Minneapolis has an extension. So they're coming in. So.
Thanks, Cheryl.
I'm sorry, but how come EPO has an extension?
I don't know. They don't tell me why. I just get a letter from the Department of Management saying an extension's been granted. So.
Trent, Heck, how's the county attorney's office going outside of what Lisa said?
Nothing further to report.
Smart man. Thank you. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
A couple different things, I guess. So we'll start out with stuff that really doesn't have anything to do with us, but I try to let you know. So the DOT work is starting up. I guess we're a little bit like crime to a certain extent. When it warms up, things get busy. So DOT work's picking up on both fronts, the project around Minneapolis, which is its own project, and then the work starting just north of Burlington, which has been the ongoing project. So both of those are going to involve closures of a county road. Upper Flint should be closing, I want to say a week from yesterday. I'm assuming that's weather depending, but and that I'm told will be closed 3 to 4 weeks. Upper Flint will be at that intersection or near that intersection, but closed for through traffic for all purposes. And then Minneapolis Road, west of Minneapolis, where the interchange will be built, they are needing to install drainage culverts across existing Minneapolis Road, which eventually will get torn out and replaced as part of the project. In this situation, they're just digging holes, putting culverts in, and then patching the road back in. So that closure is also supposed to happen starting a week from Monday. And And that one should be shorter, although I can't say as I got an airtight time frame, but it was suggested 2 weeks. I don't know better than that. So so there will be, I believe they're gonna set up up there, they're gonna set up a detour that kind of uses Iowa City Road and the Gypsum Plant Road to show traffic where to go. Most people find that anyway, but I just wanted to make you guys aware of it. So so there's a couple things. Our Upper Flint paving project is out for bid. We'll take bids on that sometime there in early April. We have the hill on Geode on the other side of the dam that is closed. The contractor closed it Monday and got started right away. So so that's good to see. They're already, I'd say, I don't think half the concrete's out already, but they're making good headway on that and doing the grading as they move. So so that is ongoing. The Pleasant Grove project, I'm hoping before the end of this meeting I can chime in towards the end of it and give you a closure date for that. I believe it's either going to be this coming Monday or the following Monday, but they're doing having a meeting on site this morning at 10 o'clock, so I'll try to get that passed on so that the media has it and Shane has it for his plans. So but that is coming up. And then we are back to the contract rock haul. So they finished up Irish and 180th. And they are right now, I believe, working on South Prairie Grove. So kind of been slow going because we've had to pause a couple days in between for the rain. So, and sounds like tomorrow we'll do the same thing. So other than that, we had plenty of potholes and plenty of soft roads the last couple weeks, so the guys are out blading, hauling some spot rock today, and we will probably start up our own internal rocking program probably next week if the weather allows. So that's going to be the theme for a while. And I would say that if you're out and about or you guys get a call about a hole in the road somewhere, this is typically the year where those tend to show up for culverts that nobody was really aware of. You get, you know, you come through a dry winter, frost goes out, and then you get these soaker rains, and next thing you know, something that was bad for a while finally kind of shows up as a hole in the road. So we had that on a dead-end road last week. The guys did a really nice job with it. Dead-end roads are tough when you have people on the other side. So they did some preliminary work on Friday and put a pretty large culvert in yesterday, got the road closed, dug up, put in, and backfilled by the end of the day. So so they're buttoning that up, and then we have another dead-end road that just showed up. So that's the theme right at the moment. So like I said, if you hear something, it may be nothing, but pass it on either way so that we can take a look at it. A lot of times landowners find those things faster than we do. So it's always good to hear from them. And I'm sure I'm missing something, but that's the bulk of it. So,
Brian, I had the privilege of running on a road that's not in New Orleans County, it's in Henry County. Now I know why you don't blade roads when it soaks rain. It's just like driving on ice.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, thank you.
So anyway, that's what we have. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of people going in different directions. So, thank you.
Brooke,
good morning.
Up to VA office.
Good morning. I'm just keeping busy. Nothing new really to report.
Okay, thank you. Natalie, how's the recording office?
Good morning. It's going well. We're keeping busy with boat renewals. Just a reminder, they do expire April 30th. The DNR, though, this is the first year, I think, ever that you have till July 1st before they do add the $5 penalty. Also, just keeping an eye on a couple bills that have passed through the House that will affect the recorder's office. So association's keeping an eye on those. So I think I emailed you guys, maybe set up a work session about the
ATV
ordinance one. Or a couple weeks, whenever anybody can get to it. Whenever Terry says we can.
Have they passed that bill yet?
It just, it's, no, it just went through the House. It's, I think it's on hold or something in the Senate, but it passed like very unanimous. It was
wait till the governor signs it and we know it's actually coming before we do anything.
That'll work too.
I think they, I talked to Dennis, and I think they used some of our language we had in our ordinance for that, but it's still going to affect us by no means.
Otherwise, that's it.
Okay, thank you. Terry Johnson.
Good morning.
County Auditor.
County candidate filing period ended March the 25th, last Friday. The four positions that we have open, the Board of Supervisors, Tom applied, County Recorder, Natalie applied, County Treasurer, Janelle applied or submitted their papers, and for County Attorney, Lisa submitted all of her papers, and those are the only ones we received. So far, nobody has any.
It says a lot about our jobs, doesn't it?
Especially yours.
Now we're waiting for the state to give us the official notification of all of the state and federal candidates. And we should get that tomorrow, and then we'll work on, hopefully early next week, we'll get our ballot order sent, so.
Good, thank you. Ken Heinemann, Seal Region for Mental Health.
Yeah, we have, I think, three agenda items today for the Seal Region. And we're also, I'm the contracting person for the region, so I go to all eight counties and do contracting. And so I think our next governing board meeting will be April 13th, and I think we've got at least four contracts that are ready to go to the governing board. That's maybe one-third of them so far. So we're making good progress on contracting. We're still doing meetings with a lot of the other agencies that have budgets to submit, things like that. We're still working on those, but the contracts that have Medicaid rates or set rates, those are easier to get done first thing, so that's what we're working on. We're gonna submit those right away. Otherwise, yeah, I see there's a general assistance work session, so I'll stay after for that. But that's all I have for now.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Did I miss anybody? Seeing that, didn't miss anybody, we should move on to correspondence. Do either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I do not.
We have one here. It's from Iowa Middletown Railway. This is for the abandonment of that rail that they sent us an email on. Pretty lengthy here, so.
They're leaving us with the tracks.
Yep. What this is.
It's in the armory.
What's that?
It's in the armory there. It's in the.
It's in the organ plant area there. Yeah. What it is, they're going to abandon some rail tracks. There's a map over here. I have to read it, I guess. Somebody said don't, so. This letter is applied to the Iowa Middletown Railway LLC IAMR intends to file a petition for exemption of the IAMR to abandon approximately 4 miles of track, the subject line located within the Iowa Army Ammunition Plant in Des Moines County, Iowa. The subject line does not have a milepost. The subject line traverses through United States Postal Zip Code 52638. A map of the subject line is attached as Exhibit A. IAMA plans to petition the Surface Transportation Board for an exemption under 49 U.S.C. 10502 from the provisions of 49 U.S.C. 10903 to enable IAMR to abandon subject line. Owner after May the 26th, 2022, in STB docket number AB1323X. This will be on file in the, and there's a map in here for your viewing. Then we have one now here with the National Association of Counties and the State Association of Counties. Have partnered to provide all Iowa counties with a free flag retirement question box to place in your county. National Association of Counties and Iowa Association of Counties are honored to join forces to help ensure that the nation's banner receives a proper retirement. Your county's custom flag box should arrive after March the 1st. NACO and ISAC are providing these receptacles as a centralized location for county residents to deposit flags that are ready for retirement. When an American flag becomes worn out or torn, the U.S. flag code outlines the etiquette and respectability for retiring a flag. The flag, when it is in such condition that no longer a fitting emblem, a display, should be destroyed in a dignified way, preferably by burning, says Section K of the U.S. flag code. Counties can work with community partners such as the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Veterans Group, librarians and sheriff's office departments to collect flags and carry retirement ceremonies in accordance with the U.S. flag code.
So. Right on.
If I can speak about that, Jim, the container arrived in my office like maybe 3 weeks ago, and it's been sitting in there, so Carl and I finally put it together last Friday. We assembled it and put it out there, and Brian Vanderstrom, mm-hmm. on the transport, he noticed it right away, and evidently he does a lot with the Boy Scouts, so he says when it gets full, let him know, and they will honor and burn the flags properly. So
that's great.
So, but we've got it sitting out here in the hallway right now.
Thank you. Moving on to discussion and vote, we have a public hearing for resolution number 2022-024 approving the fiscal year 2022 and 2023 budgets.
I move to open the county or the public hearing.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Then we got a little, Tom, would you mind reading this?
Regarding the fiscal 23 budget, the first thing someone might notice about the budgeted revenues is are about $31 million and budgeted expenditures are about $37 million. As the board is aware, we are not spending money we don't have. The March disparity between revenues and expenditures is primarily because $5 million in American Rescue Plan spending will come out of American Rescue Plan funds that Des Moines County received from the federal government in fiscal 21 and fiscal 22. As the board is also aware, there have been a couple of major changes to the county budget over the last 2 years. The county took over 100% of DESCOM funding, and the state's combination of mental health property tax reform legislation shifted mental health funding to the state. Those changes were reflected in both last year's and this year's levy decreases. The fiscal 23 levy rate for urban property will be $6.82 per $1,000 of taxable valuation, a decrease of 20 cents from fiscal 22. That's the lowest urban levy rate in 22 years. The fiscal 23 levy rate for rural property will be $10.43 per $10,000 of taxable valuation. Also a decrease of 20 cents from fiscal 22. That's the lowest rural levy rate in 19 years. We owe a big thank you to all of the elected officials and department heads for their work on the budget, and to all county personnel for their efforts to keep costs under control, so.
Well said, Thomas.
Thank you.
Well said.
Is there any comments regarding the budget?
We will give the public 2 minutes. Call in at 319-753-8203, extension 4, or email board@dmcounty.com. We'll give you 2 minutes for that. And does anybody else have anything you want to say in here while we're waiting on them 2 minutes? Campbell, I think you can come up with something to say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Something. Can we spell it? S-U-M-T-H-I-N.
Something.
You learned to spell it, the city.
Thanks, Thomas. You know, the Burlington city manager's here today.
Thus the comment.
See what I'm dealing with, Bert?
I can't do it.
I can't do this.
Tough crowd. Yeah.
Again, tough crowd.
I would note, just thanks to Cheryl, she kind of acts as the pivot on the whole, what is kind of a gigantic 3-month-long mess. So I would mention that, because I know she takes a million phone calls from all of us, me included, and always gets back and always has the information. So I'd like to say thanks. I like this process.
I agree. Very special thank you to Cheryl.
She's here, please. And she pays her taxes on
time. And it hurt.
And it always hurts.
Do you pay them in Des Moines County, Cheryl?
That was a nice move, don't you?
Yeah. Well, seeing the 2 minutes is up, we shall move on.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
I move to approve resolution 2224 approving the 2023 county budget.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane Campbell.
Yes, please.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Child abuse prevention.
Preventative Month proclamation.
Whereas child abuse and neglect is a serious problem that can be prevented, and whereas our children are the most valuable resource and will shape the future of Iowa. Whereas child abuse can have long-term psychological, emotional, and physical effects that have lasting consequences for victims of abuse. Whereas protective factors are conditions that reduce or eliminate risk and promote the social, emotional, and developmental well-being of children. Whereas effective child abuse prevention activities succeed because of the partnerships between child welfare professionals, education, health, community and faith-based organizations, businesses, law enforcement agencies, and families. Whereas all members of the community benefit from creating conditions that support strong and healthy families. And whereas communities must make every effort to promote programs and activities that create strong and thriving children and families. Whereas we acknowledge that we must work together as a community to increase awareness about child abuse and to contribute to promote the social and emotional well-being of children and families in a safe, stable, and nurturing environment. Whereas prevention remains the best defense for our children and families. Now, therefore, we, the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim April 2022 as National Child Abuse Prevention Month in Des Moines County, and urge all citizens to recognize this month by dedicating ourselves to the task of improving the quality of life for all children and families. Dated this 29th day of March 2022. Jim Carey, Chair.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McKimball.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
And Jim, I believe we have some representatives here to speak about child abuse.
Sweet. Would you ladies like to add to this?
Well, I'll just introduce myself and the group a little bit. My name is Erin Jones. I work with Community Partnerships Protecting Children and work in four counties in community-based child abuse prevention. And we partner with the County Child Abuse Prevention Council. Des Moines County Cares is the name of our council. We have some great members and supporters here today. And the council is always looking to add and is inclusive for anybody. We think of all parts in it, and input is important and helpful and needed for us to, you know, make progress toward preventing child abuse and making a safer, healthier community. So I do have some materials I will leave on the desk, so you can look at those later if you'd like. And then again, we meet the second Monday of each month at kind of 1 o'clock. We follow the interagency meeting that Rachel out of Community Action runs that meeting, and then we follow up to kind of coordinate our efforts. And anyone is always welcome. And she has information if anybody would need to get in touch, but there's also information on the materials I'll leave for you. But we really appreciate you taking the time to do this and recognize for us. For the first time, Prevent Child Abuse Iowa this year is trying to light up the whole map of each county as they sign a proclamation. And so we were represented, all four of us, so we really appreciate that you're willing to do that for us.
Well, we appreciate what you folks do to help child prevention.
Thank you very much.
It's an ongoing thing that I hope finally comes an end, but it seems like it never will.
Right, we have to keep working and prevent what we can. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to countywide housing needs assignment request for financial participation.
We've done this before.
Good morning.
Yes.
You don't have to stand if you don't
Chairman
want to.
Chairman Carey, how are you? Yeah, thanks. This is fine. So, I'm here today representing the housing task force of the Greater Burlington Partnership. The task force, I think, has been in place for several years, but after COVID, just kind of reconstituted and started meeting again back late fall, I believe, in terms of addressing housing needs and initiatives within our community, the broader county area. And through the conversations over the winter, the group determined that
revisiting the idea of a housing feasibility study or housing needs assessment should be considered. The last time that the county had, and when I talk county, little c, you know, all of the cities, developers, builders, elected and appointed officials in the county, looked at a housing study was in 2015. Lots changed certainly since then. We also understand that there were some unique circumstances going on about that time with the ethanol plant being under construction and some itinerant construction workers and stuff putting undue pressures on some of our rental housing in that countywide. So the committee has determined that it would be time to update that housing study. So we've engaged a contract or a consultant to work through that. After a review of an RFP and assessment of about four or five responses to the RFP, we've selected a firm called Keenan. It's a different firm that then conducted the study in 2015. You can see some of the financial information there. And I also laid out really what we're aiming to accomplish or some of the goals of the study this time around. We really want to drill down to not only housing needs, but what are some of the economic factors that put pressure on our housing. And not only single family housing, but multifamily, rental units, and those types of things as well. Economic factors, demographics, how has our county population and demographics changed in the last 7 years since the last study? And you know, what are some of the projections then? What we'll really task the consultant with this time is providing some solid recommendations moving forward. What can we do to impact housing? Don't just tell us that we need more housing or that we have this much housing and these are our needs. What are some tools available state level? What are some tools available to us at the local level to really move the needle on housing? We all know it's a problem. That problem is even more pronounced now coming out of the pandemic. We see pressures on housing in all sorts of ways through workforce, labor rates, but certainly as we're all acutely aware, construction costs are just crazy right now. So what tools are available to us as we look at some of these targets to impact housing in our community? So with that, you can see on the back there a list of financial contributions that are either committed or that we'll continue to ask for. And so that's my ask here today, is that the county would participate at the $3,000 level. You see off the $31,000 total cost. We have partnered with Southeast Iowa Regional Planning to administer the program for us and to work with the consultant on our behalf. The study would look at not only each municipality in the county, so even the smaller groups, we would ask them to zero in on housing economics in the smaller communities, but also the rural county setting as well, because we see some growth in especially single family housing out in the rural areas. So what does that mean, and how does that impact housing for the municipalities, excuse me, within the county as well? So with that, that's kind of the program and the ask, and I would just see if you had any questions.
Did I miss it, or maybe you mentioned it, is there when this is going to be done, a schedule, a time?
Right, so when, I did not mention that, thank you. When we engage the consultant, once we have all this information lined up and we have the resources to engage them, they anticipate that it'd be about a 6-month process. So if we can engage them through the middle part of April, we would expect that to be completed sometime in early fall, October timeframe.
The last time we went through one of these, it was a sort of a precedent to applying for a grant of some sort through the state.
Right, and that's one thing that sometimes these studies are good to have just from that standpoint. A lot of times housing grants or tax credit programs will require a study like this because they'll want to see some of this data to help justify the grant. And so our current or our previous feasibility study, again being about 7 years old, a lot of that data is not going to be relevant anymore for any grants or programs, tax credit programs, that developers or municipalities might want to apply for. So having an updated plan does aid in any funding opportunities we might find.
After you get it updated, how long will that be? How long will that be good as far as grant, trying to get grants and that sort of thing?
Right. So, you know, again, our current one's about 7 years old. I think that's too old. You know, probably that 3 to 5 year time frame, because things change so much. I mean, just look at what housing has done here in the last even 2 years now. It's been unique with the pandemic, but things change in that 3 year cycle pretty quickly. There's pressure on, at least certainly I'll speak for the city of Burlington, to look at our housing programs, our not only our abatement, but our TIF programs, and some of our housing stock improvement programs. And I know West Burlington's going through some of those same things. So speaking for the city council, they really are looking forward to this program and have pledged to, you know, put a significant amount of money towards it as well, because it will help guide how they work through some of their abatement housing programs.
Your money or TIF money?
Good
question, Thomas. Yeah. Good question.
Because housing is an important aspect of the ARPA funds, I've asked the council to consider using some of our ARPA funds for this program.
The state can use their ARPA funds for housing too.
They
I think
can.
They might have.
And they have pledged some of that for that, yeah.
Have they? Okay, yeah. They attended the Iowa State Association of Counties recently. One of the advisors was, they said, get the money out, especially for states. And he said, before the federal government comes back looking for it.
That's right. Yeah, and we've, you know, just, I mean, to diverge a little bit, we've, because the council goal is to improve our nuisance abatement response, you know, junk properties and housing conditions, and housing improvement overall, we've pledged a significant amount of our ARPA money to housing. This is part of that. We also are looking to hire a new staff person in our building and in inspections department to help with that.
Sweet.
So we have a new staff person coming on here in a couple months.
You got rid of the old mayor, you can afford that now.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I'm groovy.
You did this once before. I'd make the motion that we come up with the three grand.
I second.
Sarah?
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yep.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You would have got $3,500 if you'd sent
you.
Somebody prettier.
I dressed up the best I could. So. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Now we have the Fourth Amendment and restated 28A agreement for the Seal Region.
This is if I can touch on this, you've got three of them here. The first is for the 2080 agreement, rather than explain these one by one.
Yeah.
The state changed the whole mental health system. So when they did that, they took away Fund 10. So they have to be funded in a different way, or their staff does in each county. So the 2080 addresses that. The second one is the Memorandum of Understanding, which lays out how the region is going to pay the counties. In other words, so much per square foot for vehicles that the county owns. And the third resolution is essentially saying that all the counties have passed the 2080 and everything. And since I'm the representative to the board, I can sign when they run that 2080, I think it has to go through the region board again. So, in a nutshell, that's what they all are.
And one other thing, Tom, is that when Ryan sent these documents, she said that DHS and the governing board have approved them on 3/9/22. So
yeah.
So it has gone through DHS and it's meeting the.
It went through our board, but after it's approved by all the all the boards unanimously, then it has to go back through our board again.
Right, it has to be
and
signed.
That's where I would have to sign it, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Keep the state happy. are as happy as they can get.
I move to approve fourth amended and restated 2080 agreement for Seal Region.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCambell.
Yeah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
I think you have to sign the back of that. I think there's several sheets there. There were one of them for Des Moines County. Well, the original one, it had one for each. It might be just be one because on the original one, it's got a signature page for each county.
There
would just be the one.
Now we have a memorandum of understanding regarding the reimbursement from SEAL, Mental Health and Disability Service Region for county employees and occupancy equipment, and Tom just explained all that to you.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you're on that board, because that's quite a board for you.
They're pretty tolerant of me.
Yeah.
Some boards aren't.
Some boards aren't.
Some boards aren't.
Now we have a resolution 2022-025 approving the SEAL Region 2080 agreement.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have a resolution 2022-027 or 026 for the final plat. I had that shut off. That's my granddaughter trying to message me.
The TLPL Creekside subdivision, so this is a one lot minor subdivision on Upper Flint Road. So there's an existing 53 acre lot with a house on it right on the south side of Upper Flint, and they're going to be splitting that into two parts. So this lot plats off the western 25 acres, this is intended to be sold. They already have who's going to be purchasing this. In fact, it's the TLBL, actually those four letters each stand for the first name of the four members of that family. So they plan to build a home on the north 8 acres of the lot, which is the high ground right by Upper Flint Road. The two-thirds is all mostly within the floodplain along Flint Creek. We have two conditions included on the resolution approving this. Number one, acknowledging that the most of that southern portion is conservation reserve program, so that's something that they need to be aware of moving forward. Although, as I understand it, the plans are to keep that land as is and only develop on that north part. Also added a condition that they need to get a permit before they build and install a septic system for the new home. That's the standard procedure there. Health department, and then of course it's also in the 2 mile area, so it be subject to zoning permits as well. They will be sharing an access off of Upper Flint. The plat includes a 65 foot easement on the existing driveway for the home, and then the second home will have its own driveway branch off of that. So that would comply with the comment we received from Secondary Roads that they're because of the site distances in that area and the hill on that road, there, they would not allow any additional entrances, so that's already been planned ahead for. And then lastly, it's in the 2 mile review area of the city of Burlington, and the city approved it last week at their council meeting, so that we recommend approval on subdivision.
Awesome. I move to approve final plat for TLBL Creekside subdivision.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Jerry will sign these afterwards.
Yep.
I'm going to get down from now.
And
get these signed afterwards for you.
Another one that's also in the 2 mile review area. So this one was presented and approved at the same city council meeting last week. This one has three lots located on Tama Road, northeast of the city. The first addition involved some land that's right in between those three, where there were two existing houses and then one new house. The two existing homes had the depth of the lot expanded, and then there was a new lot created for that additional home. And so this one just builds off of that. For the most part, nothing is changing because lots 4 and 5 are strictly intended to split off two parts of an existing property that the current owner plans to remain in ownership of, at least for the foreseeable future. One of which contains a commercial building, an old welding shop. And then the other one, which contains it's a storage building with living quarters. It's on the opposite side of the levee from where his home is located. And so this, there will be a shared entrance for both of those properties off of Tama Road. There's also a second entrance from Tama Road for the welding shop, and then another one from Rogues Road to the east. And then the only change would be lot 6, which is the south end of the property, where this would be sold. That sounds like he already has someone in mind who wants to purchase that. Likely for the construction of either a storage building or a mix of shop and residence. And then as before, that would be subject to the zoning permits through us as well. Largely in relation to that lot, we've included a couple of conditions on the resolution. One, that if that building on lot 6 will include plumbing, any living space, then that's going to have to get a permit from health department for septic system. And then also, it's subject to any new development in this area is subject to permits from Two Rivers Levee and Drainage District based on the proximity to the levee. That we recommend approval of this subdivision. And then,
I move to approve final plat for first edition of Wonder Lake subdivision.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Thank you. Serving on the Zoning Board of Adjustments for a number of years. At this time, I offer my resignation effective March 15, 2022. It is noted that I have been rewarded with becoming acquainted with some very nice people, and I am grateful. Again, thank you for an opportunity to serve.
David was an asset for every volunteer.
Yes, he was.
So, motion to accept the resignation with regret.
Second.
Sarah?
Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Whereas we have a resolution 2022-028. Whereas the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors approves appointments to the Des Moines County Zoning Board of Adjustments. And whereas adjustment number Dave Newell has submitted the letter of resignation. And whereas Sherry Zeller has expressed interest in serving on the Board of Adjustments for the remainder of his term. Now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors hereby accept the resignation of David Newell from the Des Moines County Zoning Board of Adjustments, and further be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors hereby appoints Sherry Zeller, 138 O'Connell Beach Road, to serve on the remaining term of Dave Newell through November 2024 on the Des Moines County Zoning Board of Adjustments.
So moved.
Second.
Sarah?
Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Very fortunate situation there where it was actually a another member of the Board of Adjustment that recommended Ms. Zeller for that position, and we subsequently spoke with her and she expressed interest, so we appreciate him for offering that and her for her interest, since sometimes it can be a challenge to get these positions filled, but this was very, very convenient to be able to get that one squared away like that. And we also appreciate Mr. Newbold, because he had informed us at the last meeting a little over a month ago. So he gave us some advance notice that he was going to submit his letter of resignation. So he gave us a little extra time just to plan ahead too.
Good. Okay, now we have a request for a tax sale certificate number 16-0423. Supervisors, gentlemen, Citus Cultivation LLC, 18025 Oak Street, Omaha, Nebraska, would like Des Moines County to sign over their interest in the tax sale certificate number 16-0423 to them. This is an empty lot and they are interested in the lot so they can get it back on the tax roll. They are offering to pay 100% of all delinquent taxes on him and the current payable on the partial, in the amount of $2,373, as well as the $10 assignment fee. I'm respectfully recommending the county honor the request for the assignment of certificate number 16-0423. If you agree, please sign and indicate both the assignment certificate and the tax sale certificate that you will find attached. Sincerely, Deb Moore, Deputy Treasurer, Des Moines County Treasury Office.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCambell?
Yep.
Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
There's two copies.
One at the top.
One's
says
for
copy.
The treasurer and one for us. So
I don't have to read it.
No, you do not have to read that one. I'll save you the words.
Not much Janelle insists.
No. Thank you.
we have a janitorial agreement. No, no, we have accounts payables. Seeing none in here, we didn't pay anybody this group, did we?
I'm going to approve no payments.
Skip that. Oh, no, that's not.
It's the fourth week.
No, we shouldn't have anything. That shouldn't have been on there anyway.
No, you're right, we shouldn't have anything.
That was a mistake.
I was going to say, I didn't get anything, so.
This week, we're paying no one.
Yeah, next week that will be in there. Sorry about that.
Next week will be in there, huh?
My fault.
Don't blame it on yourself, blame it on Terry.
That's what we all do.
Normally, it's every other week, but we've got an extra, I think we have an extra Tuesday.
There's an extra Tuesday. I was just looking at the calendar, I'm like,
we got to get Sarah in the groove here.
Yeah. I did send it to you guys for approval as well, just.
Yeah.
We have a contractor with Porter's Cleaning. Rodney, do you want to address this?
Yeah, this is just an annual agreement with Porter's Cleaning for the janitorial services for the jail, CPC office, the secondary roads and conservation. They left the pricing the same last 2 years. I think it's about like a 1.5% increase this one from last year.
38,000 for the jail, 38,340 for jail, and 2,892 each for the CPC, secondary roads, and conservation.
So they do a pretty good job. We recommend for approval.
Motion to approve the janitorial agreement. Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Approval for professional engineering service for the Goins County Bridge, H-14, FHWA 023600. This will be Mr. Carter.
Yeah, this is a preliminary design contract. You'll have some other design contracts coming. This was my priority, so they got it to me sooner than the others. This is for the bridge. We've discussed the possible use of ARPA money towards. This is the far north bridge on 99. I think it's fair to say that if ARPA money isn't available for it, it will shuffle down the list and we'll put the preliminary design plans on the shelf and wait until we have other stuff taken care of. But it's a bridge. We'll talk about a construction program a little bit more at some point, maybe a couple weeks from now when I present it. But it's just, it's not completely shot, but it's old enough. Can't justify putting a deck on it like we can some of our other bridges. And let's face it, Highway 99, as far as a paved road in our county, is crucial. And clearly, the DOT got rid of it at the right time because it's also the last bridge we won't have touched. So we're going to go ahead and start working. I know you guys are still figuring everything out on ARPA money and if there's enough available to go after this, but I do want to make it clear, we're going to go ahead and work on preliminary design. We'll spend the money. It will come out of farm to market funds for the preliminary design. And of course, we'll move on to final design if we can. We'll work on environmental, we'll work on all that stuff, but the bridge itself will come to a halt because I do not have the money other directions if ARPA is not available. So otherwise, that's it, and I'd recommend approval.
I'm going to approve proposal.
Second.
Sarah?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. So we have a Years of Service Award, and Mr. Brooker, you're the senior person on this board, so I will let you present that.
Natalie Steffner, 15 years of service. I didn't think you were that old.
Feels like third.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thanks, Natalie.
Everything you do.
We don't have enough time for that.
Now we have personnel action.
That's true.
First one is for local health. And that's for Rain Strickland. Resignation. Doesn't say what effective date was, but.
She was kind of an on-call person that has not worked for a while, so.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. And the next one is for mental health advocate. April Krogmeyer, 8 days unpaid time off. $55.67 unpaid hours.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. So we have the minutes for the regular meeting on March 22nd, 2022.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. And other business.
I have none.
I have none. Committee reports.
I have none.
I have none. Okay, public input. Anybody from public have any input? Hearing none, need a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
So moved.
Aye.
Thank you.